Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. Lord, I just pray that there would be a spirit of joy, of peace here, of thankfulness, Lord, that we are able to come and meet together and see each other and study your word. Lord, this is your time, this is your service, and I pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm going to have to be careful with my movements. Have you, any of y'all seen, I think they're called the thumbprint that are on our videos sometimes. It just freezes a moment, and when you click on it, it's what's the picture that you click on the video. And if we had trouble getting it downloaded this last week, and it wasn't until Friday that we finally, I think it finally went through or whatever, but it's me sitting here getting a drink of water, Peter walking this way, Kyle walking that way. So it's like, and some of them I'm making the funniest faces. I have my hands raised up and everything, but it's just the thumbprint. So I'm going to try and just be real still for a moment, and maybe it'll freeze a good shot for this week. But if you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. And I know not everybody probably seen last week's sermon, got to hear last week's sermon, but last week we talked about almost being persuaded to live for Jesus. And so this week, did you have a better week? Were you persuaded to give God your all? I talked at the end about streams of living water flowing from us. Did streams of living water flow from you this week? I hope that it did. I had my ups and downs this week, just like it seems like every week I do, and I'm looking forward to the day that I quit having my ups and downs, and I can stay submitted fully to the Lord and walking with Him, and those streams of living water are truly flowing from me. And I think to get there, that's where we're at today. I think for me, there's some things that I need out of my life. I was really having trouble this week with what to preach on. I had nothing, and I ended up, not to go into great detail, but I ended up being off several days this week from one problem or another, and so I had extra time. But preparing a sermon, it ain't just like, okay, I'm going to get ready and here it goes. And I was getting nothing, and I just felt like the Lord kept saying, read Matthew 18. And I was like, okay, so I found some interesting things to me in Matthew 18. But let's begin. Matthew 18, verse 7, it says, "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." I've preached about this before. We've talked about this before. I don't believe that it's literally talking about cutting off your hands, right? We've talked about that because, you know, you're gouging out your eyes because the lust of the eyes, even if you only have one eye, you can still lust with the other. And you know, even if you only have one hand, you can still steal. But it's about getting that garbage out of your life and doing away with it. This morning, as I was restudying this and reading it, and I thought about, and you guys have probably heard this story before, but when Hayden was little, he was tiny, and he could barely even walk, best I remember, and he would go to our kitchen table and climb up on it and just sit in the kitchen table and dump out the salt and pepper shakers. And we didn't really childproof our house. We tried to keep our children out of stuff. We would spank them and do different things, and that was just the way that we parented. I didn't have locks on all the cabinets and everything else, and so Crystal would swat him, set him down, And if things got quiet, you could almost find Hayden in the center of her kitchen table just sitting there dumping out the salt and pepper shakers. And she got so mad at one point, she just grabbed the salt and pepper shakers and threw them away. She said, "I've had enough." And she threw away the salt and pepper shakers and didn't have that problem anymore. But she eliminated it, okay? And the reason why I'm telling that story is because some of us, there might be an area in our life of temptation. And you say, "Man, every time I'm put in this circumstance, every time I'm here, I fail. I give in. My mind goes where it shouldn't go. My heart goes where it shouldn't go. And my eyes go where they shouldn't go. And I fail." And I think that that's what this is talking about, that there's things in our lives that it's time that we need to take a real look at just cutting them out. There was a preacher I heard several years ago, and his son had a computer for school. And I can't remember all the details, but basically his son was looking at something that he shouldn't have looked at on the computer, okay? And I don't remember if the dad, who's a preacher that I used to listen to on the radio, caught him or the son told his dad. I can't remember in that great a detail. But his dad told him to grab the computer and let's go outside, and he grabbed a baseball bat. He went outside and he handed the baseball bat to his son and said, "Okay." And he's like, "But Dad, I need this computer for school and I need it for this and this." And he said, "Who do you love more, God or the computer?" And you think, well, that's kind of crazy, but he said his son took the baseball bat to the computer and it eliminated the temptation to look at what he shouldn't have been looking at. Well, that's extreme, Pete, that's extreme. Gouge out your eye, cut off your hand. Sometimes there's extreme measures that we need to take in our lives. There's things, maybe we need to shut off the cable. Maybe we need to take a baseball bat to our computer. Maybe there's extremes in our lives that we need to have so that the streams of living water that we talked about last week will be flowing out of us. Because one thing that I've seen in chapter 18 here is that sin separates us from God, right? He says, so that you will not be thrown into the fire of hell. That's, you know, hellfire and brimstone preaching that we don't preach a lot about these days, but it says that so that you won't be thrown in hell, sin separates us from God. That's what this scripture says. And what do we love more? What do we like more? So, but I one of the things that I thought that was very interesting about this chapter, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter, but here he's saying sin separates you, you need to cut it out of your life. And then this very next little section, verse 10, he says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." See, I think it's interesting that he goes from telling you, woe, if you're causing someone to sin, one of these children. It started off talking about the children. Woe, cut the sin out of your life. And you know what? I'm looking for you. I just think that's interesting. And it goes on in this chapter, and we're not going to go that far into it, but it goes on to talking about how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? That's in this chapter. No. 7 times 70. No. And so I think it's interesting that the chapter begins in Jesus talking about, get sin out of your life. Cut it out. If there's anything causing you to sin, I want it out of your life. But you know what? You've wandered off. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you this morning. And maybe some of you've wandered off in your heart. You're sitting here in body, but your mind's not here. Your mind's wishing you were at home in bed. Your mind's wishing that you were out playing golf. Your mind's wishing you were someone else. You're not really here. You've wandered off. And this morning, I believe that God's searching for you this morning. He's searching for me, and He's saying, you know what? You need to cut the sin out of your life and come home to me. come home to me. I found that so interesting, because usually when we study these things, at least me, I'll study little sections instead of the whole chapter. But this whole chapter is beautiful. Go home and read it this afternoon and look at how it goes from get the sin out of your life to I'm looking for you, I love you, I want to forgive you. But I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's very strong. It's very strong. We cut it out. Get it out. If it means gouging out your eye or cutting off your hand. But I believe that God's looking for us, and He's whatever's causing us to stumble, whatever's causing us to wonder, maybe it's time that we cut it out, we destroy it, and we just stop and we begin to obey God. Because that's where it's really at, church. The sheep that wandered off, he was disobeying, right? The man that's bringing sin into his life, he's disobeying. And I believe that it's time that we, as a body of believers, if we want the living water to be flowing out of us that we talked about last week, that we begin to obey God once again. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams.'" Are you obeying God in your life? Are you walking in obedience, or does sin have dominion in you? Does sin rule your heart, rule your mind? Are you obeying God? Have you wandered away so that you're no longer even hearing His voice? Are you that far? Are you to that point? You may say, I want to obey, but the problems are so big, the temptation is so strong, the walls are so high. And it made me think of the walls of Jericho and Joshua chapter 6. And we know this story, but I think it's worth looking at again. Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the world at this time. And Joshua chapter 6 is where we're at. And in some spots, the walls were 25 foot high and 20 foot thick. And many thought that it was a city that was invincible, and that it was a symbol of power, of their military might during this time. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men.'" To me, that's a very funny statement. Here, this big, huge, fortified city, you come up to it, and the walls are up, the gates are closed, no one's coming in, no one's going out, and God's saying, "See, I delivered it into your hands. Right there it is. Right there it is, ready for the taking." And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes in my life, when the walls are really big, Mitzi sent us that song a couple weeks ago about walking around these walls. I thought by now they'd fall. And I think sometimes that we're walking around the same old walls. We're walking around the same temptations. We're walking around the same sins. And God's saying, see, there's victory waiting for you. And we're going, "But Lord, look at how high those walls are. Look at how thick they are. Look at this sin, Lord, it gets a hold of me. Look at this temptation that gets a hold of me. Lord, look at this, my job. Look at my finances. Look at my children. Look at my husband. Look at my wife. Look at my loneliness. Look at my friend. Look at..." Have you ever done that? I have. I did it this week. I was praying. I said, "God, the walls seem so high. This virus, look at what it's doing to the churches. Look at what it's doing to our communities. Look at what it's doing to our nation. It's crazy. That's a big wall." I'd seen a headline this week, and I've not been really watching news at all, trying to not watch it at all, but however many months in, and we're still no closer with coronavirus, that they still don't know what to do with it, you know? That's the headline, fear. And for many people, there's so much fear in your life right now. That's a big wall. God's saying, "Look, I've delivered you. That city is ready to be overtaken." And I'm going, "God, I don't see any way. I don't see any way." Verse 3, "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. All I got to do is walk around this city. You know, I think sometimes when we're not obeying, that's why the walls seem so high. Walk in obedience and see what happens. Right? Walk in obedience, obey. Cut that sin out of your life. Cut that temptation out of your life. If you don't, what did he say? Hell awaits. But obey me. And even the things that seem like are impossible can be yours. When you obey me, the impossible. Walk around the city, Lord. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carrying trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. I wonder why he said, don't say a word. And I think I know, because what would they have said? Is anybody else looking at this wall? We're going to get victory here. And they put those negative thoughts in you, right? You put those negative thoughts in. And before long, you begin to believe the negative instead of what God tells you. Anybody ever been there? You know, God's told you something. God's given you something. But you don't see the reality of it coming to pass. And then people say, oh, maybe you didn't really hear from God. Maybe God has a different path. Maybe God has this. Maybe God has that. And all at once, this doubt begins to well up inside of you. And all at once, you begin to believe what everybody else says instead of what God told you in your heart. Whereas I believe that's why he just said, don't say nothing. I might be wrong. That's me assuming, you know. But we saw what happened before with the Israelites and in the Promised Land, right? They said their giants are too big. We can't take this. And then they wander in the desert for 40 years. So don't even say a word. Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets, and went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once more and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. You know, I think that this is interesting also, because you think, 6 days they've done this, the same thing. How many of y'all have prayed for something for 6 days in a row? 7 days in a row? I mean, honestly, really, really prayed. Maybe here and there we have. If something really big, we have. But if any of you ever been like me, I'll confess, I was going to really pray for something, and I'll do good for a couple of days, and then I'll forget. I challenged y'all, it's probably a year or more ago, about praying for people. And the Lord had gave me 3 different people to pray for. And man, I did really good for a few days, and then I forget. And then, oh, I remember again. And then a few weeks, you know, and I'm talking about in those few weeks, there'd be days that I'd forget in those few weeks. And then a few months went by, and I wasn't even doing it anymore. You know, when we don't see results, we usually give up, right? I mean, is anybody else that way? We don't see the results, we'll give up. They marched around this city 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except on that day, They circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that are in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and the sound of the trumpets. When the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed, so every man charged straight in and took the city. They were obedient. They were obeying what the Lord had told them to do. And the walls collapsed and they had victory. Y'all, how many of us in our lives are obedient to the point when, even when things don't make sense, even when you have to shout, even when you have to be quiet, don't say a word. Now shout loud. Well, you know, has the Lord ever given you something and it just seemed just so, this doesn't even make sense, but God, I'm going to obey. And I, as long as I'm obeying you, then I leave the outcome in your hands. Walking around those walls for so many days, but God gave them victory. And church, I believe that God wants to give each one of us victory in our life if we'll just trust Him. If we'll just obey Him. You say, well, obedience brings victory. Getting the garbage out of our life is needed. Just following His commands, no matter what they are, even when it seems impossible, even when it doesn't make sense. You know, some of the things that people that know something about, like natural remedies and medicines and stuff, it doesn't even make sense to me, you know. When Tim first started trying to get me to drink cayenne, it didn't even make sense to me. It didn't make sense at all. But now, it's like, for me, when the Lord tells me to drink it, I drink it. And praise God, it's been working pretty good, you know. And you might say, well, that's crazy, Pete, to drink cayenne. Doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not a doctor, and I don't know too much about it. And, you know, different things that we tried when we were sick and different things that we did, sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. But just because something doesn't make sense, if the Lord tells you to do it, you do it. You pray about it and you do it. Not because Tim told me, not because Crystal told me, but pray about things and begin to ask the Lord, what would you have me do? How would you have me do it? There's times that I feel like I'm not supposed to do anything. There's other times that I feel like I'm supposed to do something. And there's times that I know the Lord has told me to do something and I don't do it and I fail. And I stumble and I fall. And then I'm full of guilt and I'm full of shame and I'm right back to where I feel like, God, how can you forgive me? And He's saying, you need to cut it out of your life. You need to cut it out of your life. But you know what? I'm still looking for you. You haven't gone so far. And this morning, can I tell you something? It don't matter what you've done. You haven't gone too far. God can still forgive you. God's still looking for you. God still wants you back. And you say, the walls are so high. I just don't know. And I think we got time for this. Luke chapter 5. Because I thought about, you know, most of y'all have been Christians a long time. And I thought about, you know, there's times that we just get tired. You ever get tired? I get tired sometimes. Sometimes I get tired of being disappointed in myself. Sometimes I get tired of being disappointed in others. Sometimes I'm just tired, you know. That's just, you know. And I just, this story came to me in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Has any of you ever felt that way? God, I'm so tired. I'm just tired. I was telling Tim and Amanda about the excitement we had at the church last night. Someone was in our church. The alert alarms called me and said the motion sensor's going off in the sanctuary. I'm like, well, don't send the cops. I'll just go up there. I'm already in bed. And I checked Kyle's location, and I know he's not home yet. So I said, I'll go up there. But then I called Kyle. Kyle, you care to go by the church? And, of course, he says he would. And so while I'm talking to Kyle, though, alert alarms calls me again and said, are you sure you don't want the cops dispatched? The hall sensor's going off now. Someone's going through the church, you know. I said, okay, send the cops. It's just, I was tired. I didn't want to get out of bed. So I let Kyle deal with it, okay? That was the whole point of the story. Turns out, you know who was setting off the motion sensor? The cops. No one was in our church but the cops. Apparently they'd seen the door cracked in the back, so they came in to check it out and was walking through and set off all the alarms. I need to go talk to them. I mean, I so appreciate the police officers. They'll come through here and check our church because we've been broke into more than once, you know. But I guess they don't realize that if anybody's in the church, it's going to sound the alarm. So, but I was tired. I really didn't want to get out. If Kyle would have said, hey, I'm home in bed or whatever, then I would have. But y'all, there's times that we're just tired. There's times maybe that we're tired with reading our Bible. There's times maybe we're tired with doing a devotional with our kids. There's times that maybe we're tired and we don't feel like praying. Have any of you ever started to pray and then you just, before you know it, you're asleep? You're just tired sometimes. Crystal was telling me about a devotional that she was reading Friday night about just give him praise and thanks to the Lord for 15 minutes. And she said, so I started just thanking him and giving praise to him. And she said, I don't know when, but she said, I just fell asleep. She's like, I was out, you know. She woke up the next morning. I do the same thing. You're just tired sometimes. And here Jesus says, go out. And I said, we're tired, Lord. We've done it all night. But because you say so, I will do it. But because you say so, I will do it. And y'all, that's the heart and that's the attitude that we need to have in obedience to the Lord. But because you say so, Father, I'm going to do it. Even when I'm tired, even when the walls seem high, even when it seems impossible, Father, if you tell me to, I will do it. When they had done so, verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Y'all, when they were on their own, he said they'd caught nothing all night. When they were obedient, they had more than they could even handle. Y'all, I believe that God wants to bless us more than we can even handle. And when I say bless you, I don't mean with new homes and new cars. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about with that streams of living water flowing out of you. I'm talking about that peace that can't be explained because you know that God's in control in your life. I'm talking about living free from condemnation, that you're not walking around feeling full of condemnation and guilt all the time over past sins. That's what I'm talking about, that no man, no amount of money can give you. God wants to do for you if we're willing to take the knife and cut out the garbage, cut out the sin, and walk in obedience. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. I want the streams of living water flowing out of me, and sometimes I feel like it's more garbage flowing out of me than streams of living water, but I know the problem isn't with my Heavenly Father, the problem's with me. And getting upset, getting uptight over the walls, over the things that I see in my path, instead of just trusting God and giving Him praise. So let's stand. Maybe this morning you haven't been trusting God. Maybe this morning you haven't been walking in obedience and you're all tore up on the inside. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're full of the streams of living water. And if you are, praise God. And I ask you to pray for me and pray for the others that are here this morning. And maybe there's a huge wall in your life this morning and you're just saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to win. I don't know how I'm going to get victory. And I pray right now that God will begin to give you what you need to do to walk in obedience to have that victory. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all your blessings. And Lord, I pray right now that if there's any sin, Lord, not if there's any, but for some of us, where there is sin, where there is disobedience, Lord, that this morning that we would cut it out of our lives. Lord, in a real spiritual sense, that there would be a surgical procedure going on right now inside of us, Lord, that we would not desire any sin, that we would not be seeking the things of the world anymore, but Father, that we would only be seeking you. And Lord, that where the walls seem so high, where we're tired, where we felt like we've fished all night and we're just worn out, and we just don't know if we can do it anymore, Father, that you would speak to our hearts right now what to do, and Lord, that we would be willing because you say so, because it's what you have told us to do. Lord, I pray that there would be victory in each one of us. I pray that there would be victory in all of our family and friends, Lord, that are sick this morning, that are still hurting. Lord, all of our family and friends that are enslaved to sin and the desires of the flesh. I pray that there would be real victory for each and every one of us, that there would be deliverance, and that we would begin to walk in obedience each and every day. May Satan not bring any condemnation upon us, Lord. May we understand that you are looking for us, that you are waiting for us to come back home to you. May we come home this morning by confessing our sins, by repenting and walking in obedience. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The choice is set before you now. Living or dying, blessing or cursing, and now the time's come around to turn from your fighting and rest in His mercy. Choose life that you might live. The life that He gives you forever. Choose life the way that is true from the one who chose you, your Father in heaven. Choose life and trust the Lord with all your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your being. Hold on, listen and obey. Surrender your life into His keeping. Choose life that you might live. The life that He gives, He gives you forever. Choose life the way that is true from the one who chose you, your Father in heaven. Choose life.
You know, there's there's something about obedience that's you know, sometimes obedience means don't touch. What was those videos a month or so ago where they put the candy in front of the kids and say, don't touch? What was that called? I can't remember. The toddler challenge, you know? So sometimes obedience is not doing anything, right? Just sit there and stare. but I believe a lot of times obedience is also an action, right? It's an action of of being still and not touching the candy, or is it an action of going? And when the Lord says, cut it out, get it out of your life, when he told him, march around the city, don't say a word, just march and do what I tell you. You know, different healings in the Bible, different things that happen. God healed in all different ways. Jesus healed in all different ways. And it all involved obedience. And so I encourage you this week to listen and obey. And that's what our life should be all about. It's not about packing out the church. It's not about, building new buildings. It's not about new things. It's about obedience. Trust and obey. And whatever the Lord tells you to do, you do it. And then you leave the outcome in His hands. So I encourage you to walk in obedience this week. And let's pray for each other, that we all might walk in obedience. That we all might be able to get the garbage out of our life. I love you, church. And I'm not just saying that. I mean it. I don't know what's going on, but I've been having dreams about different people in the church. And it's been like good dreams, like things going on and things happening. And I pray that it's a sign of things to come, of what the Lord's showing me. We still need to do a baptism service. And hopefully, I need to talk to Catherine and see, hopefully in the next couple weeks, we can do it. And we need to check and make sure our baptistry still works. If not, we'll take a cold plunge, but that's okay. But I need to try and get it set up in the next couple weeks. So if anybody else, I know some other people have mentioned about wanting to get baptized. If anybody else has never been baptized and you're a believer and you would like to get baptized, please let me know. I've been baptized twice, and so it took two times to stick. But thank you all for being here, and have a blessed week.